And my spirit is excited. My spirit is excited to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message Jeannie and I are both going to be sharing this morning is If You Have Ears to Hear, Listen. By the way, if you're here for the first time on a Sunday morning, you are welcome. My name is Jerry Brewett. My wife Jeannie will be up here in a little bit. I was pastor here for a whole bunch of years and still hanging around and preaching whenever I get the opportunity. So we love this church, Jeannie and I. We have been blessed to pastor this church, and we're excited for what God is not only doing, but is going to do right by faith in Jesus' name. If you have ears to hear, listen. Little boy, true story, was 5 years old, and he wanted to learn to answer the telephone. He would watch his mom and dad and brothers and sisters answer the telephone, and he wanted to be able to do that, and he would watch them and listen to them, and one day the phone rang and no one else was there, and he figured he got it. He picked up the receiver and he knew just what to say. He said, "Hello? Nope. Goodbye." And he hung up the phone. When I read that, I thought, sometimes we make up our minds how we're going to answer God without really listening to what He wants to say to us. But the question to you this morning is, do you really want to hear God speaking to you? And if you do, there are some clear ways that you can. It's not crazy. People that say, you know, God told me to do this crazy thing or that crazy thing. No. There's a clear message, there's a clear truth on God and how He wants to speak to us. When I was a teacher in high school, every year, at the start of the year, whatever subject I was teaching, I would take a week and teach a very short course on how to listen effectively. And the reason I would do that is because I knew that if the students weren't listening or didn't know how to listen effectively to what I was teaching, there wouldn't be much learning going on. No listening, no learning. In the 7 messages to the 7 churches in Revelation, each one ended, and those are letters that apply to us as the church today, they all ended with, if you have ears to hear, listen to what God is saying to you and to the church today. And I dare say that if you really want to hear from God, then you ought to know God. Right? And if you don't know God personally, then listen to my voice, because I'm speaking for Him this morning, and He's inviting you right now to give your life to Him. Have faith and trust in God to save you and to make you His child. Trust Him to be your Savior. Trust Him to be your Lord. It'll be the greatest decision that you ever made in your entire life. So before Jeannie comes up here and shares some principles of hearing from God, I want to just share with you 3 things first, and some of these are in your bulletin. 3 things that will prevent you from hearing from God. 3 barriers. One is pride. Listen, if you don't think that you need God in your life, if you don't think that you need God in the daily things that go on in your life, in the decisions that you want to make, and you want to handle things by yourself, then you're probably not going to be listening for God when He wants to speak to you. Pride keeps any person from being open to the possibility that God might have something to say to you or to me. And that never ends, by the way. I've been a Christian for well over 50 years, and I need to hear from God as clear or more clearly today than I ever have in my entire life. I want to be open to that. Secondly, fear. A lot of people can't hear from God because they're afraid to hear from God. Maybe you think that hearing God's voice and hearing from Him is going to send you off in a direction that you don't want to go. And maybe He's going to tell you some things that He wants you to do that you don't want to do. Or maybe He's going to tell you some things that you should not do, but you want to do them anyway. So I really don't want to hear from God. that's not you this morning. And then the next one is a huge one. It's bitterness. Listen, when you hold on to hurts, resentments, anger, grudges, you're not going to be able to hear from God because your heart is hardened. And it's grown cold, and it's going to make you defensive, even to God's voice, and even to God's love. Maybe you've been hurt badly. Maybe this week, maybe this year, maybe many years ago, and you're still holding on to it. I want to tell you this morning, on the authority of God's word, you need to let that go. Not for another person's sake, but for your sake. The resentment will kill you. It's a self-inflicted wound that allows people from your past to continue to hurt you today. And you need to let it go. Not even because anybody deserves forgiveness, but because you need to get on with your life. Get rid of the bitterness, get rid of fear, get rid of pride that keeps you from hearing God's word. James 1:21 says, get rid of all the junk and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word that God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your souls. Humbly accept. Everyone say, humbly accept. It means that you let go of your pride and stop trying to figure things out on your own. And that's the key to opening your heart in your mind so that you can hear effectively from God in this day. Now, in case you don't know, I want to introduce you to this beautiful and powerful lady. Jeannie, come on up and share some things of hearing from God's word.
Good morning. My portion is seeking, listening, and purpose. I want to give you two words, and they're spelled with the exact same letters. And those words are listen and silent. Powerful, isn't it? Listen and silent. I was 14 years of age when I gave my heart to Christ. From my birth through my formative years, my family did not serve God, but in the way of most people around them, lived in a worldly way and served themselves. I tried to please, to stay out of trouble, to be that perfect child, and I always fell short. I kept many hurts hidden deeply, kept my thoughts, anxiety, loneliness to myself, and tried to find acceptance and love in friendships, achievements, and competing to be the best. I didn't know that God was pursuing me, and He had heard the cry of my heart. In Jesus' own words from Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." I was so lost in so many ways. And when I heard that preacher share the good news of the gospel, I was ready to receive his unconditional love. I began seeking him, wanting to learn all I could about my new identity, a child of God, and how he could change my life. What did that seeking look like? I started to read the Bible, which I'd never done before. I started going to a teen Bible group on Friday nights, and I started listening to Bible teachers and evangelists as much as I could. I was seeking Him. I wanted to learn everything there was to learn. And in that process, from hearing what God has to say to us, it's to seek Him. In seeking God, you will begin relationship with Him. Proverbs 8:17 speaks of the desire that God has for us to share ourselves with Him, our inner thoughts, our hopes, our hurts, our dreams. God says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." In seeking Him, in desiring to hear His voice, we must first learn, listen, silent. Listen, silent. To quiet ourselves before Him. And I say in today's society, this is harder than ever to find silence, to find quietness, because we have at our hands, in our hands, constantly, we are being dinged and rung and, you know, demanding our attention. We begin to have to practice becoming quiet before our God. We need to find a time and then be consistent with that time. This will help to create a much needed habit in our seeking process. We need to learn to listen. Jesus said in John 10, 14 and 15, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep." He is telling us we can know him and have that deep relationship with God, just as God the Father had with Christ. In John 10, 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." We need to spend time to read God's word, to sit quietly and let it soak in, to wait to hear if he is nudging us to apply a certain truth we're reading, or to motivate us to change a destructive pattern, or to confess a failure, or to forgive someone. This is my second step in the hearing process: listening. And you need to cultivate, I call it, in the moment listening. As I said earlier, our culture is robbing us of the ability to drop what we're doing, maintain eye contact with that person who's talking to you, or you them, and listen. I have a few suggestions. Try turning your phone off. When you spend time at lunch with a friend, or when you're having dinner with family, turn it off and test yourself. Can I go for 5 minutes? Can I go for 15? Can I go for a half hour? Can I go for 60 minutes without it? Do you have music on all the time? Do you have to have noise? Do you have to have that space filled with a television or music? Or let me suggest, try turning it off, especially when you're having your devotions. Get used to being quiet for a few minutes. Does God have your undivided attention? Do your loved ones have your undivided attention? Do your friends have your undivided attention? We can learn how to listen by just starting to apply these practical steps. How long does everyone have your attention? It's hard to listen to anyone, let alone the voice of the Holy Spirit, when these distractions and lack of real time spent with him hold your attention. Try having your personal devotions in the same room, the same chair or sofa, the same time every day. Imagine as you sit there, this is where God meets you every day. It creates a valuable image in your mind, and it speaks to the relationship you are developing with your God. It's just a wonderful way to, that's my place where I meet him every day. That's my place where I'm going to hear him speak to me. That's my place, God, just you and me. What purpose does this serve? Do we keep this good news, good work to ourselves? No, that would be hiding it under a bushel. God begins to reveal his purpose for our lives in order that we can shine his light out to those around us. I was crying out in my young years to be noticed, to express my thoughts, to have a voice. Who was I really, and what was I supposed to do with my life? God gave me identity, and now on this journey, he began to reveal the purposes he had for my life. And guess what? He's still not done with me. And I am continually allowing him to work out his plan. He speaks to me about my selfishness, my failure to forgive, my desire to control, and calls me to repent and surrender so that he can change me and my desires. Surrender. That's really the key to freedom. And when I obey, I find true peace and freedom. Listening to the Holy Spirit guides me. This communion with him develops a trust and a sure knowledge that he will direct my path. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." And verse 12, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." People in our community don't need your judgment. Your boss, your coworker, your neighbor, fellow students don't need to have you looking down on them because you have all the answers. None of us here have all the answers, have all of it together. But we want to shine the light so that they realize we know where to go to find the answers. When I began working for the Packers years ago, God gave me this verse from 2 Corinthians 2:15 and 16. "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task?" And as I trusted God's direction, my answer was found in 2 Corinthians 3:4 and 5. "Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God." And when you spend that time with God, you begin to be filled up with God. You begin to sense his love and his power, and you can carry that out into the world. The Spirit of God told me to walk the walk in my workplace before I talk the talk. The Spirit of God told me to be the best assistant to the general manager, to not bicker and complain, to not begrudge anyone for their position, their promotion, their salary, to not think more highly of myself than others, but to have an attitude like Christ, an attitude of serving those around me, helping out in tasks, and treating others the way I wanted to be treated. God was teaching me many things about life: respect, trust, using my time and resources wisely, leading by example, being a good listener. And not all of these people teaching me those valuable lessons in those years were people of faith. So listen to the Spirit of God within you. He wants you to shine your light in dark places. He wants you to develop a communion with him, a relationship. So when he says, "Walk this way, take this path, wait for me to open the door," or "Don't go in there, it's trouble, don't take that job, don't trust this person, stop talking, Jeannie." Yes, he speaks that way too. You will know that it is his Spirit within you, leading and guiding you. God gives us purpose, and when we hear his voice, we will be a voice that brings encouragement, hope, and someone who can help restore, someone who can bring peace in the midst of turmoil. I close with Matthew 5:14-16. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify and praise your Father in heaven. And I want to share one more thing about listening to the Holy Spirit. It's based on, it is not based on feelings. Listening to the Holy Spirit is based on trusting.
I get to listen to her every day. She's been my side 49 years. It's a blessing. Yeah, it's good. By the way, husbands, just a quick word to you, because I am one as well. The Bible says that if we don't treat our wives correctly, God's not going to listen to our prayers. It's true. So, and I've shared that with husbands in the past, and it's, well, what about my wife? That's not my business or yours. The Bible says treat your wives correctly, live with them rightly, and God will hear your prayers. Very quickly, six or seven things, top ways that I call to hear from God. And these aren't secrets. Number one is certainly no secret. It's through His Word. Number one, everyone say through His Word. 2 Corinthians 3:16. All Scripture. Everyone say all Scripture. Yes, they're right. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing and listening to the Word of God. Listen, there's a lot of voices out there wanting your attention. But I think I can say by the authority of that Word that if you are not paying attention to, focusing on listening to, reading God's Word, you're going to miss out on His voice. He's given us this amazing book of letters to you and to me. And we need to be regular people of God's Word. I have people that say, you know, I'm asking God to show me the mysteries of this, the mysteries. Listen, God's not obligated to show you anything. And if you don't get into God's Word, where you can find it, I like to say 96 or 97% of everything you need to know about your life and how to live it is right here in this book. So don't be asking God to show you some deep mysteries when you're not even paying attention to the things that He's trying to get your attention about, right? God speaks very clearly. Pastor Erickson, your founding pastor, used to quote a lot of those scriptures. One that he quoted often, a soft answer turns away anger. Want to gauge your Christianity? Look into that word. How are you doing with soft answers? Okay? Through His Word. We will never fully get what God wants us to get if we don't and aren't into His Word. Listen. Thoughts? We have them. Feelings? Yes. Impulses? Words from others? Our wants, our desires, those can all be good, but they best line up with God's Word. I used to teach when I was a youth pastor. It was about, I couldn't find the account where I found it, but back in the ancient days, back where Italy is now, there's a lot of harbors there. And one particular very dangerous harbor had one main lighthouse. And it had strategically placed two other lighthouses. And the point was for the ships, when they were coming in to the harbor and wanted to get in safely, they had to get the first lighthouse lined up with the second lighthouse. And then finally, they had to get all three of them lined up. And as long as they saw the one lighthouse, three together, one big light, they could safely sail into harbor. And I read that and I thought, you know, that's like God's Word. I've got thoughts and feelings, things I want to do. People are talking to me about different things. But everything that I sense God trying to say has to line up with His Word. And if they are, I'll be walking on safe ground. Amen? I'll be walking on safe ground. The Spirit of God always lines up with the Word of God. If you think the Spirit of God is telling you something, but it doesn't line up with God's Word, dismiss it. It isn't God. Okay? I've had people come into my office in the past and say, you know, Pastor, God told me that I should do this or go here or do that. What do you think? Well, what difference does it make what I think? If you say that God told you, and you're putting me in a position of, if I don't think he told you, then you think I'm going against God. So I'm not going to do that. But if you want to say, I think I'm hearing from God, what do you think? Now we've got something to say. And I've heard the craziest things over the years about what God has told people that they can do. I'm not even, they're so ludicrous, some of them, that I don't want to share. And so, in opposition to God's Word. We need to know God's Word. And if you will know God's Word and make it a point and a commitment to be into God's Word every day, you're not going to steer far from what God wants for you. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that. Secondly, through people that God puts into your life, who you know love us, and who we trust. The people that God puts into our lives that we know, you know, love you, and you trust them, and they want the best for your life. I hope you have people like that. Do you? I hope you have people, someone in your life that you know, love you, and want the best for your life. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's another family member. Maybe it's a good friend. Maybe it's a co-worker. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's another Christian brother or sister. What are they saying to you? I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'll keep saying it because I truly believe that is true. If you've got those three or four people or five, however many they are, and you're struggling with an issue, whatever it is, and they're talking to you about it, and they're all telling you pretty much the same thing, do you think just maybe God might be trying to get through to you and speak to you on that subject? How else would he do that except by the people that he puts into your life? A husband or a wife is a helpmate. The husband is not the boss. The wife is not the boss. They are partners together in the affairs of life. The Bible says, submit to one another, husbands and wives, in the concerns of this life. Helpmates. They help each other understand what God wants for life. Remember the old saying? Terrible saying. Children are meant to be seen and not heard. Out of the mouth of the young people, God perfects praise. You want to know how to praise God? Watch young people that love Jesus. It's only when they get older like us that they get all distracted and turned off and all that kind of stuff. God speaks truth. If you don't have faith like a little child, the Bible says you can't even be saved then. Jesus brought the little children in. Your son, your daughter can speak to you if you choose to hear. Many times my daughters or my son has said something to me. Sometimes maybe not even in the right spirit, but it was still the right truth. And I didn't like it. I could have said, who do you think you are? No. God said, I'll tell you who I am. I want you to listen to them. Too many people shut off those voices in their life. And God really wants to direct and guide and lead. Listen to the people that God puts in their lives. Thirdly, to church ministries. Everyone say church ministries. Romans chapter 1, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith. But I also want to be encouraged by yours. Isn't that what the church is all about? Church? to encourage one another in our faith. That's why the Bible says, don't stop meeting together. Don't stop coming together as brothers and sisters, as a body of believers. And all the more when you see the day approaching. I don't know about you. I think the day is approaching. I don't know how much more this world can go in the direction before God says enough. We need the church. We need each other. We need to meet together. Through the powerful truth. Do you listen to the words of the songs that Pastor James leads us in the worship team? They are powerful truths. Meant to, yes, praise God and to worship Him and to hear truth from God's Word. Every one of those songs has powerful truth. And we sing them, and I hope it's more than just words and a note or two that we really begins to come from our heart. Ask God before you even come to church on a Sunday morning to prepare your heart to worship Him and to praise Him and to hear from Him by His Holy Spirit. Through small groups, through Wednesday night teachings, through Celebrate Recovery meetings, the kids, through Kids Town, through youth group, through Awana, and all the things that are available to you and to me through the church to help us to grow, to help us to get strong, as the Bible says, to grow in God's grace, to grow in His knowledge. Why? So we can say, you know, look how smart we are in God's word. No. So we can be effective, even as Jeannie was talking about, to be effective in those situations in the world that we can let our light shine and be the sweet aroma of Jesus Christ. Amen? Next one. Through nature. So it's good to get out. God created a beautiful world. I don't know about you, but there's times when we can just be out in that beautiful world and sense God's presence. Sometimes I never before. Why? Because all the distractions that Jeannie talked about aren't there, hopefully. And we can see. Doesn't nature itself teach you, Paul said, about God? About His glorious creation? About what amazing, awesome, wonderful God that He is? That He made all that for you and for me. Get out of your house. Get out of your routine. Take a walk someplace. Find a trail if you're able to. Just get out. Say, Lord, speak to me today or this moment in a way that you haven't before. And God will reveal things to you. Let Him bring verses from the Bible back to your mind and to your memory. Next one. Through good books. It always discourages me when people don't read, because there's so much good thing to read. There's so many good authors. One of the all-time books that we read, actually did a study on in the church years ago, it's called Experiencing God. You remember that book, right? That was such a great book. Find out where God is working and join Him in His work. I'll never forget that truth. If you read that book, that will stick with you forever. Don't ask God to join you where you are. You join God where He's working. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. You got some intellectual soul that is struggling and doesn't know or understand or is doubting whether there is a God, have them read Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. It's an amazing book. C.S. Lewis has been gone a long time. He's one of the most amazing authors of our time for kids and for adults. There's all sorts of good reading out there for you to help you in your daily and in your Christian life. Remembering that everything must line up with what? God's Word. That's right. Times of rest. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people aren't very good about that. I'm not real good at it. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. The king and all the people of Israel were in a dither and the enemy was was coming against them, and they were way stronger than the Israelites, and they had conquered many nations, and they were, the word had come from that king to the Israelite king, we're going to destroy you, give up, open up your gates, surrender now, or it's all over for you. And they tore their clothes, and they asked, they wanted to hear from God, and the word came through the prophet. What should we do? Be still. Really? Don't do anything. And see what I can do. And the enemy was destroyed without one hand being lifted by the power, supernatural, miraculous power of God. Sometimes we need to do the opposite. Don't just stand there, do something. You need to do just the opposite. Don't just do something. Maybe you just need to stand there for a bit. Times of rest. Isaiah 40, 31. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. Americans aren't good at waiting. I want it done, I want it done now. I want it done this way. And wait? You know, the kids hate waiting, right? We'll just have to wait a little while. Oh, how long? Well, you know, long enough. They that wait on the Lord. You know, if you take a devotional book or you take God's word and you just sit and you read, ask God to show you a portion of Scripture if you don't have a regular reading plan. And if you just wait on God and just be still a little bit, shut off all the voices that are clamoring for your attention and listen, He will speak to you. He really will. And He'll calm your spirit. Through action, everyone say action. Listen, I want to ask you this question. If you haven't heard from God in a while, when was the last time that you did hear from God? And what did He tell you to do? And did you do it? We're saved by faith. Aren't you glad? It's not of works. Right? We're saved by faith. Ephesians 2, you know the verses. 2, 8, and 9. We're saved. Faith, grace of God, all that. That's how we're saved. There's nothing we can do. There's no amount of work we can do. We can't be good enough to save ourselves. And we can't be bad enough that we can't be saved because we're all saved through faith. But then Ephesians 2:10 says we're saved to do good works. God didn't save us to be idle. God didn't save us so we could just sit and wait for the rapture. They tried that back in the New Testament church and it didn't work. There's bones where they're buried waiting for the rapture to come and it didn't come. I don't know when the rapture is going to come, neither do you. And by the way, if there's any voices out there telling you when God is coming back and Christ is coming, don't listen to any of them. Look at the Word of God. He's coming soon enough. When people least expect it, He's going to come. But in the meantime, we've got work to do. Every one of us. My daughter Christy's favorite word is the need is the call. If there is a need someplace, then you are called to fulfill that need to the best of your ability. What's the need? Look around you. There are kids in this church that need helpers on Sunday morning, for instance. Who's called a kids ministry, for heaven's sake? When I was a Christian education pastor, way back in the day, and I would approach a person and say, I think that you should volunteer to help out with a 5-year-old and be an assistant, and you only need to work 2 Sundays out of 6. I'm not kidding. This is often the answer. Well, it's such a spiritual answer. Pastor, I want to pray about that. You've heard me say this before. And I would say, you don't need to pray. I've already prayed about it. God told me to talk to you. All you need to say is yes. And they'd laugh and I'd laugh. But the point was made. There is a need. We're saved to do good works. Jeannie pointed out many of them. In your home, in your family, in your neighborhood, there are ways that we can be God's hand, we can be God's voice, we can be that hand extended to people who need whatever it is. God will show you. All we need to do is ask Him. By the way, once in a while, I don't think I put this in the bulletin, God does speak through dreams and visions, but I don't want to emphasize that or overemphasize that. That would, to me, be the exception to the rule, but it can happen. God can speak to you in a dream. God can give you a vision. And generally, it's something that pretty much relates to you and where you're at. There were a couple of times it hasn't happened in a long time, but there's times I woke up and I've heard my name called. I say, "What did you say? What did you want? Jeannie's sleeping?" I didn't say anything. Voice. Something's in the house. Just so Jeannie pulled the Eli Samuel on me. She said, "Why don't you say like Samuel? Speak, Lord, for your servant here." God speaks to us in different ways. But the point is, we need to position ourselves to hear from God. It is not a mystery. It's not mythical. It's not ethereal. It is clear, as clear, as clear. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's not very confusing to me. Is it to you? I don't think it is. And on, God's speaking. That's God's voice to me, to you, to all of us. There's so much richness in the way God wants to speak to us. We just need to position ourselves and say, "Lord, clear out the clutter, clear out the stuff that is keeping me from hearing from you. If there's bitterness in my heart, Father, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to forgive the past. I'm going to press on to the good things that you have for me. And I know by faith, Father God, in my life, in the life of those around me, I'm not going to stop believing and stop having faith that the best is yet to come. I'm not going to let circumstances discourage me. I'm going to look forward, and I'm going to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, take those words of your word and apply them to my heart, and I'm going to believe for great things for the sake of the kingdom of God." Amen? Amen. Pastor James? Amen. Amen. Would you bow our heads for just a moment? There's nothing supernatural about, by the way, about bowing your head. I just want you to be able to focus without being distracted. And I want you to remember what I said at the beginning, that hearing from God kind of indicates that you need to know God. And I don't know if you know God. I know a lot of you, there's some people I don't know. Do you know God personally? Not having gone to church, not where you were raised in the church, not where you were around church, not where you, well, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. Well, Jesus said that the demons believe too, and they tremble. There has to come a point where you make a decision. You're going to be a Christ follower or you're not. And I don't know the timetable that God has, but I know that He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I truly believe the reason Jesus hasn't come back yet is because there's more people that He wants to be a part of His kingdom. He doesn't want anybody to miss out. And if you've never made a decision to be a Christ follower, to ask Him to forgive your sins and to take control of your life. Say, "Jesus, I've tried and it hasn't worked real well. I want to give you my life. I want to give you every part of my life. I want to follow you." If you haven't come to that conclusion yet in your life, but maybe the Spirit of God, even through these words that Jeannie and I have spoken this morning, that you say, "Yeah, I want to hear from God. I want to know God. I want to give God my life. I want to be a Christ follower." Pastor, before you close the service, would you pray for me? I'm just going to ask real quickly, if you just raise your hand and say, "Pastor, that's me. Pray for me, please, before you close the service."